T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Six Atlanta police officers were charged Tuesday after dramatic video showed authorities pulling two young college students from the car and shooting them with stun guns while they were stuck in traffic caused by protesters. Fulton County District Attorney Paul Howard announced the charges during a news conference. He said, and I quote, "I feel a little safer now. Excuse me." Messiah Young said, and I quote, "I feel a little safer now that these monsters are off the street and no longer able to terrorize anyone else." Messiah Young, 22 years of age, was one of the college students snatched from the car, tased, etc. Vehicle was destroyed in that process or damaged significantly in that process. The district attorney who decided to charge these cops, six of them, is on the show. District Attorney Paul Howard, thank you for being on the program. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Richie, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, sir. I know you've been significantly busy, especially given what's happening, but let's talk about what your investigation uncovered, because there are some saying that this was done out of political reasons and nothing more. Let's talk about the investigation. And why did your office, through the investigation, decide to charge six officers with a criminal act?
Well, I'm glad for the opportunity to explain what happened. I think, though, it's appropriate to present the listeners with some background. This involves an instance where the DA's office has requested that a Superior Court judge issue warrants for arrest against police officers before the case is indicted. But we have done this on two other occasions before. I'm sure that many of the listeners might remember the case that involved James Burns, an Atlanta policeman who shot and killed a 22-year-old African-American. Burns, this incident took place in 2016. The incident took place, I believe, around the 22nd of June of that year. And within 24 days after it happened, we asked the court to issue an arrest warrant. The reason that we did it in that case is because we had a videotape which clearly showed the actions of the officer. We had a second case that occurred with a College Park, an East Point police officer. We found out from a local media outlet that the officer was involved in an attempted rape. So what we were able to do within short order is to actually speak to the victim. So once we spoke to the victim, within 6 days, we were able to ask that this officer be arrested. And again, it was prior to the time that he was indicted. So this case marks the third time in the history of our office that we've done this. And also, Rashad, we have to also remind the viewers that in the history of my administration, this will mark the 28th time that we have moved to prosecute a police officer 28 times. So this is not something that is new. So the reason that we were able to act so quickly in this case is because the information was there. It was there before us. We reviewed 7 body cam videos detailing this incident. Also, we had a very clear video from one of our local media outlets. We also had a chance to interview both of the witnesses in this case. We had a chance to review statements from the officers from the police department. We had a chance to review the physical evidence in this case, the automobile. And after reviewing all of that evidence, we were able to draw a conclusion that indicated that these officers should be arrested, and we then move forward.
Let me ask you about something that was on the video, and you spoke to this during the press conference. On the body camera of one, if not more, of the officers, there's an APD officer claiming that there was a gun on the victim, but no gun was ever recovered from the car. No gun was ever recovered from the scene. My thinking here is that this may have been an attempt at creating a narrative contrary to the truth if this went south. I know you're not able to speculate, but were you disturbed when you heard a cop or multiple cops say that a gun was found or that the victim had a gun, however, there was no gun ever located?
Well, I pointed out on yesterday at my news conference that this was one of our major considerations in this case, because it sort of gives you a inside view of the thinking and intent of the folks involved. After the entire incident took place, as these officers were returning to their normal duty stations, on one of the body cams, you are clearly able to hear an officer ask, "What was this all about? What happened?" One of the officers involved in the incident then said to him, "They pull guns on us." That's what the officer said. And it was clear from the videotape that that did not happen. No one pulled guns on those two students. Were not in a position to pull any weapons on anyone because they were fighting for their lives, they seemed. They were being tasered. And so that was just completely untrue. Let me tell you, the other thing, Rashad, that I found that was also really alarming. We reviewed a statement, a criminal statement from one of the officers who said that he was standing at the rear of the car that Messiah Young was driving. And he said that at one point he had to get removed or snatched away by one of his colleagues because the car was attempting to back over him. And clearly from the videotape, that did not happen. So what you're saying is exactly right. It was very disturbing that officers would make those kinds of statements. And again, I believe it gives the readers and it gives your listeners an inside view of the temperament of that situation.
We got more on the other side. District Attorney of Fulton County, Paul Howard, is on the show. We got more news and talk, 1380 WAOK. Channel 2 reported that a $10,000 signature bond has been set for the officers. They have until Friday to turn themselves in. Young, who attends Morehouse, Messiah Young, who attends Morehouse, spoke and basically said, "This isn't just about me. This isn't just about us. This is an entire generation that has to deal with brutality or injustice and wrongdoing for nothing because of the color of their skin or simply because of what they prefer." I have with me the district attorney of Fulton County. His office has requested and obtained arrest warrants for 6 of those officers. Mr. DA, thank you for staying on the show. What happens next? You have an arrest warrant now. These officers will turn themselves in. I don't think there's any issue there. But what will happen next with the DA's office and the prosecution of these cops?
Well, what we'll do now, in our office, we have put together a unit of lawyers and investigators and administrators, and their main focus is investigating cases like this. So what we'll do is we'll go back and we will gather together the information needed to present an indictment. We'll present the indictment to a Fulton County grand jury, and based upon what we've seen, the indictment would be Trueville, and then the case would be set for arraignment in the Fulton County Superior Court.
What's the timeline on this?
Well, right now, there's a because of the virus, we're not sure when we'll actually get back to our normal process because we right now required to utilize grand jurors, and there are no grand jurors. It looks like it'll at least it'll happen sometime after the 12th of June. But when our normal process begins, I suspect within a three-month period that we would have the case indicted.
There are many people in the community who support this action. There are many young people who support this action. But you have received pushback, significant pushback, from some of those in the law enforcement community, executives in the law enforcement community, including the police chief of the city of Atlanta, Police Chief Shields. Can you talk to us about the pushback you've received, both politically and professionally, because of these charges?
I'm not surprised by the pushback. Because what people have to realize is that the DA's office should be an independent office. We should make independent decisions based upon the evidence. And so what has happened during the years, no matter whenever we made the decision to move forward, there's always the allegation that we've done it for political reasons. As you know, Rashad, the police officers are allowed to actually appear before the grand jury. And many of the grand jurors who are in the audience who are listening to this broadcast will tell you that that's one of the things that they often bring up, that they are only being prosecuted for political reasons. But I think the public is smarter than that, because you have to ask yourself, was it political that the officers were fired? Was it political when the police chief and the mayor said that the actions of these officers was excessive? Was that political, or did they mean it? Because excessive means that you have violated the law. And so I'm accustomed to it. The police union has never supported any prosecution of any police department member. They've never supported it, and they always complain. And what they've always accused us of doing is prosecuting someone for political reasons. So I am not surprised by the pushback from them at all.
We got more on the other side. Callers, you are able to call in with your question or comment, 404-892-2703. I'm with District Attorney of Fulton County, Paul Howard. You're getting real with the realest man on radio, the Rashad Richie Morning Show.
Let's start it off sexy, what do you say?
What's happening? Welcome back. You're still getting real with the realest man on radio. I'm here with the current district attorney of Fulton County, Mr. Paul Howard. And Mr. Howard has obtained arrest warrants for all six cops involved in the incident where two college students were dragged outside of a vehicle, tased, sprayed, car damaged. The mayor, the chief of police both said the force was excessive. He has gone the extra step and charged those cops, or those cops have an arrest warrant. They do have until Friday to turn themselves in. Mr. Howard, you said something interesting before the break. You said that the DA's office should always be an independent agency, an independent office. And I thought about that during the commercial break, and I said, you know what? When you don't have an independent DA's office, you get Brunswick, where basically it's indistinguishable between the DA's office and law enforcement. Your highest profile case, or one of your highest profile cases, was when the Red Dog unit killed 92-year-old Catherine Johnson. That happened in Vine City. They then did the egregious act of planting drugs on her once they realized They went to the wrong home. I want you to talk about any comparisons that you see between those officers and the officers currently today.
Well, Rashad, thank you for the question. I think as you look at it, what we see is an extension of the very same thing. Those officers planned and got together, decided to go into the wrong house. Once they did it, rather than making an admission, they decided to come up with a story to explain it. So once the incident was brought to the public, as you recall, the U.S. Attorney's Office attempted to remove the case to federal court. We objected to it because what we found out is that the plan was to make sure that those officers received probation. That's something that an independent office should not stand for. We indicted those officers. They pled guilty in Fulton County Superior Court, two of those officers. One of them decided not to plead guilty. We tried him in Fulton County, and he was convicted. That's why I believe it is important that we maintain an independent DA's office.
Would you allow the GBI to handle investigations? I know one of your opponents said basically that one of the strategies is to allow the GBI to handle the investigation and then the DA's office prosecute. Is that your methodology as well, or do you see that differently?
I see it differently, Rashad. Number one is the GBI, what they've done in the past is only investigate homicides. So what that means that in this very case, the GBI wouldn't have been involved in at all. The other thing is the GBI does not make recommendations regarding cases. They never make recommendations. The recommendations and the decision to charge is made by the prosecutor. So when you hear someone saying that I am going to rely on the GBI, what they're really saying is I do not plan to prosecute police officers. I believe that's wrong. I believe it's also dangerous.
Talking about the GBI, this is a story that has definitely been at the forefront of some of the media outlets, and that's the investigation against you right now, or into you right now, from the GBI. The allegation is the way you have been paid as a district attorney. Can you explain what that investigation means, what your thoughts of it are? And remember, one of your opponents, Fannie Willis, has basically indicated that even if you won, you would be removed from office if there's a charge from the GBI. Can you talk to that?
Well, I would say that's totally untrue because what this involved is an administrative matter. It's an administrative matter. And what I've said all along is if the evidence is followed, if the evidence dictates the outcome, then I am confident that I will be totally, totally exonerated.
Let's talk about the sexual harassment allegations. There are currently lawsuits against you for sexual harassment. Some of those lawsuits are more detailed than others. I know there was an investigation that exonerated you from one claim completely. But what do you say to those who are saying that you engage in sexual harassment in your office?
What I would do is to ask them to look at the 27 years that I've been in office, not those kinds of allegations raised. I'd ask people to look at the fact that the suits were filed within the last 45 days here during an election period. In fact, I refer to them also as campaign suits. Again, once the final review is made of those matters, I'm confident that I will be totally exonerated because I have never harassed any employee.
For those who are listening, District Attorney Paul Howard, why should they vote to reelect you again? You've been in this office a long time. Your county is leading, or this DA's office is leading in many areas, lacking in some. Why should they reelect you as DA?
I believe that they should reelect me because of our record, our outstanding record of achievement. Rashad, when I started, we made a simple promise to the community that we would reduce violence, and that's what we've done. The violent crime rate in Atlanta has dropped by 70%. The overall crime rate has dropped by 62%. When I started, we had about 4,800 people in the Fulton County Jail. We have reduced that number to 2,400, saving taxpayers over $50 million annually. Our office has had an outstanding conviction rate. We have established numerous programs with our community, particularly with our young children, and we have also established several programs providing second chances to deserving defendants. There are three things that I'm going to focus upon the next 4 years. First is our gang problem in our community. 36% of our violent crimes are performed by gang members. We have to keep our focus on gang activity. The second thing that I will focus upon is the recurring problem of juvenile repeat offenders. Our juvenile recidivism rate is 58%. The adult recidivism rate is only 34%. We're going to continue to put together programs like our Level Up Project to reduce juvenile repeat offenders. And the third thing that we're going to continue to do is to continue to develop programs like our community prosecutors and junior DAs working with our youth, and programs that will give citizens a second chance, like our Conviction Integrity Unit, which you are very familiar with. And for those reasons, I am asking people to put me back in office so that we can continue this outstanding work. I believe one of the things that really illustrates the respect, the level of respect that our office commands, is that 40 lawyers from the Fulton County DA's office, since I've been district attorney, are now judges all across this country, two of them federal judges. We have three prosecutors who are now, three former employees who are now elected prosecutors. I think that that is a testament to the outstanding performance of our office, and I would ask the voters to put me back in office, because no one will treat them fairer, and no one will do a better job of making our community safer.
We got more on the other side. Callers, this is your opportunity to call in. 404-892-2703. I'm here with the Fulton County District Attorney, Paul Howard. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. I'm here with the Fulton County District Attorney, Paul Howard. He is up for re-election. He will be on the June 9th ballot. This election will be decided on June 9th, just a few days away. He has recently sought and obtained an arrest warrant for all six police officers who were involved in the incident where two college students were snatched out of their car, tased, car damaged. You saw the scene. Horrific. We do have some callers. If you want to call in, 404-892-2703. These have to be questions or comments to the point direct, because we have a lot of callers to get to in a very short amount of time. Thank you, Mr. Howard, for remaining on the program.
My pleasure, Rashad.
Let's go to Ron in Southwest Atlanta. Question for Mr. Howard. Ron, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Howard and Rashad.
Good morning.
I was glad to hear Rashad ask you the question about the shooting of Ms. Johnson. And the fact is, the truth is that you can't take the pee out of politics, especially during an election time that we're in now. But I believe that your office might have been the first office that ever got a police convicted of murdering, and or maybe even in the country. So I will always appreciate your office. But when I see things like the mayor making a promise of dropping charges, I did not know that kind of stuff can happen, and that's surely political. But if it is, I'm surprised. Can you tell me whether or not your office have been one that have been nationally recognized, like you have just said? But as far as what do you think about arresting these officers or giving in to that political pressure? Because the police should be given an opportunity to at least meet with your office, and it seems it should be reasonable. It should be some kind of collaboration between the police chief and The mayor's office, as far as setting the priorities, which is legal. And I take my hat off also to Mrs. To the chief of police. I think.
Okay, Ron, what is your precise question, sir?
It's very clear that
Ron,
is collaboration important?
Okay, hang up on Ron. I appreciate your call, sir. I'll let the district attorney answer that as best he can. Go ahead, Mr. D.A.
I thank Ron for the question. I think that it's really important that the district attorney has the courage to make a decision and to stand independently in support of what's right and in support of the country. And he is correct that our office has been the leader in the entire country. Rashad, over a 10-year period, we had over 10,000 cases in this country that involved the killing of citizens by police. In the entire country, only 153 of those cases were ever brought to trial. In Fulton County alone, as I indicated before, we've brought cases against 28 different situations. And so he is correct that we were the leaders, and the Katherine Johnston case, I believe, was one of the first times in history that police officers had been prosecuted for the murder of a citizen in the state of Georgia.
All right, Salton in Atlanta has a question. Salton, good day, welcome.
Brother Richard and Mr. Howard, do you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, sir.
Yes, first I'd like to answer your question, Mr. Howard. Yes, all decisions made by office holders, whether the nature of the
And Salton, we got you, sir. Salton, listen, I only have a few minutes and we got a lot of callers. I need you to get to your question or comment.
Yes, my question is this, Mr. Howard. Is the reason that these officers are being arrested, or is it due to the fact that they are a threat to the community, or there's a fear that they might flight, or is it to make them an example and to make them the example of being the face of police brutality?
Okay, thank you, sir. Mr. D.A., you can answer that question.
Is because they committed a crime. They committed a crime. In fact, the mayor pointed out that what they did was excessive. And I agree with the mayor. It was excessive. It was illegal. And that's why we asked the court to issue arrest warrants for them.
Okay. Deborah in Atlanta, question for Paul Howard. Deborah, go ahead.
Hi. So much respect and love. I'm Paul Howard, I wanted to mention the GBI. And we know that Vic Thomas was over, who was the director of the GBI now. I'm sorry, Vic Reynolds. Excuse me. I'm thinking. Vic Reynolds, who's over the GBI now, was over the Cobb County District Attorney's Office in reference to the killing and murder of Michael Thomas. So what can we do as the state of Georgia to stay on top of this? Because I see that when things go to the GBI, they take a long period of time to get to it. And then by the time they get to it, they water it down and then they tell a bunch of lies, like you said, in reference to this incident. What can we do as citizens to make sure that if it's going to be going to the GBI, because you mentioned it should only go in reference to murder, that we can have people that are going to see it all the way through, since it looks and appears that through the ranks, what they do is they'll do something in a particular area where they get tossed for that, and then they get promoted to different areas. Because that's
we got you, Deborah. I got to let the DA answer the question. We're flat out of time. Thank you for your call, sister. Mr. DA, go ahead.
Deborah, that's a very good question. I think as in the aftermath of the Floyd case, one of the things that we have to do is to start making legislative and policy changes. One of the changes that we need to make in this state and this country is to put independent DAs in charge of investigations. Allow the DA to designate which police departments investigate cases. Once those investigations are returned to the DA should make an independent decision. But we should also establish another department in the federal government that gives citizens a right to appeal if a prosecutor does not move forward. And Rashad, hopefully you can have me back on at some other time and we can start to talk about some of the policy changes that we
absolutely
must have in this country if we're going to make some changes in this whole issue of police shootings.
Mr. Howard, if there's someone listening, of those who are listening, who would like to support you or your campaign, how can they contact you? How can they follow you?
What they can do is go to our website, is reelectpaulhoward.com. That's the easiest way to get to us. I would ask them to go to that website, and we'll be happy to have them as volunteers and happy to take their contributions.
Thank you for your time today. You've been very generous with it, and we continue to wish you luck on June 9th. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rashad. Thank you for having me. And let's put someone in office who's not afraid to make a tough, independent decision.
Thank you, sir. There it is. District Attorney, Fulton County, Paul Howard. This has been Real Talk with Rashad Ritchie, the Rashad Ritchie Morning Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.